Welcome back to Grisha Watch, everybody. Hello, hello. I am Emma Skies, here as always with Aaron. Say hello, Aaron.
Hello, Aaron.
Look at that. I remembered to introduce us.
Yeah.
Welcome to our penultimate episode.
The second to last episode.
Season 2, Episode 7. Dear God, I've forgotten what it's called.
It wasn't another name, phrase from the
nothing.
World.
I'm like trying to vamp for time, but I've truly got nothing.
I don't know what it was called.
Because I know the episode before this. I know the episode after this. But who cares? Nobody cares.
Yeah, the episode after this is called Gore, nope. Blood, and Violence.
So, okay. You remember when we would do the Historic Materials podcast, Best Watch, and we're in the same place, and we would watch the episode, and then it would be like 20 minutes of me like looking over my notes and looking through the book and kind of flipping through pages and being like, okay, here's what they kept in, here's what they kept out. Like that. And it was like a prolonged process. It took me a bit. I have not had to pull out the book. I've not had to pull out the book one single time. I've taken it out twice today just to look at something. I have not had to pull out the book one single time. We are fully off book.
Well, this seemed like this was just a scene.
That it would really have been seem in, like one scene.
Yeah, like just one scene. Actually, yeah, because there's just a little bit of planning in the beginning.
And then combat.
And then combat, yeah. So this was, I would have thought.
All of these circumstances completely off book.
If this was in the book, I just would have thought this was like a chapter.
Yeah.
Or maybe two.
Well,
maybe
I have
two.
Nothing to check on because okay. We're off book. So
so then we could stick to the script then.
Clearly.
All right.
So we start off in Darkling's Grisha camp. Which I'm guessing is his oprichniki. Apparently they have all been amplified with little bits of Bagram.
No, I think the guy said certain three or four.
I thought he said it was all of them.
No, because when you rewound it,
there you go.
He was naming off people.
Huh.
He was we
got multiples.
Hold on. So that means you just missed the name of the important young lady.
I'm sorry, did you catch it?
Yeah.
We will start episode 7 again. She does not have a name.
She did.
You know what her name is? It's Pansy Parkinson.
No.
That's what I keep thinking every time I see her. She looks like Pansy Parkinson.
But it is not. Because he was like, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah have all been upgraded due to the bone dust.
I swear, I thought he did all of them.
No.
But multiples of them have been amplified with
correct.
Our leftover Bagra bone.
Yes. Which, does the Dark One know where she died?
I don't know.
Because he could just go there and get the rest of the bones.
Well, her body burnt up, remember?
Are the bones gone?
He probably burned to dust.
No.
She's all burnt up.
I think he would have got the bones.
She's burnt to a crisp.
Because it's not a compact enough place to get the temperature high enough for the bones to burn.
You don't know that?
Yes, I do.
You don't know
you
that?
You saw
you
the
can't
open.
Just say something
you
like that
saw
as
how
though you
open
know.
It was. It was
it's
a stone
small
enclosure,
enclosed space.
But it wasn't small enough. No.
You don't know anything.
I will back this by science.
What science?
The science that how much it takes to have bones burn.
Yeah, you don't know
the
anything.
The temperature or how what environment
yeah,
you would need
yeah.
for the fire to get hot enough.
Do you know that?
For bones. I
don't
like
think
I will
you do.
I will after this I'm Googling it
you're
and
full
I will
of shit.
Post it online.
Speaking of people being full of shit, a little Tide Maker chick tries to like show off her new amplified abilities and it does not seem impressive. She makes her little ice daggers.
Three daggers into a bowl? That's not impressive.
It's not impressive. Mm. Like if you're trying to tell me like you've been amplified by a 400-plus-year-old woman. I don't know.
I don't have a bar for what their powers can do, though.
They have not really shown us a scale.
Yeah. Heart renders seem to be the ones that have been the most used power throughout the seasons.
Yes.
And it's easy because there's no special effects to do it. It's just the actor going, oh, my heart.
Correct.
And then dying over. So now that we have some type of manifestation of something, water, air, fire. Nobody does earth, do they? Is it just metal? We just skip?
Yeah, just metal.
Okay.
Not really. We don't really have any earthbenders.
We don't have the budget, put it that way.
Yes.
We don't have the budget to do all this.
Well, okay, so she does her little light show, or her little water show. My apologies. She does her little ice dagger show. And Darkling is giving his orders. He says to kill the king, which for a second, there was never like a moment where I feel like we, like, saw Nikolai take over as king. Because he even specifically said, like, I'm not the king yet. So as soon as he said that, I was like, that guy's already dead.
But you can, just like I guessed.
I'm sure.
You
like, you know, you know eventually. But I'm like, did we not? Have we established that? But whatever. So he says, kill the king, but don't touch the tracker. Don't touch Alina. And he's like, I know that he's still alive. Because Alina's Lena's not going to kill him. She's like, she would die before she did that. So yeah. He's alive.
Yeah, yeah,
I know. Meanwhile, cut to Maul immediately being like, kill me. The sooner the better.
He has got a death wish for some reason.
He does.
You know what? And okay, I will say I understand going from I am nothing to I'm useless to...
Is that what you think his arc has been?
Yeah. I'm nothing because I'm an orphan.
Why do you laugh at orphans? You have a problem.
To
unprompted.
I'm useless because my love interest is now the savior of Ravka. To now I have a purpose, which is my purpose is to die. So I got to do this, right? I got to do this. Or what do? Go back to being nothing? Come on.
I mean, he was still just like a person. He was always
He's never
person.
Had that self-worth, though. You gone from orphan to in the military?
He actually had a pretty solid amount of self-worth. As a kid. He always did. He always had a healthy amount of, like, healthy respect for who he was. He really didn't start feeling useless and start feeling that sort of negativity until all of this started going down, and suddenly everything big is happening around him, and he's a small cog in all of that.
I'm going in. He was drafted into the military,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so was everybody.
Yeah, I know. Who feels like they have self-worth in the military?
He's just one of everybody. Everybody's like that.
Like they look like starved people. That
it's a war torn country.
Exactly. So it's like, well, you're just a.
He had a normal, healthy amount of self worth. But yes, he is very much ready to die.
Yeah.
And he even talks to, like, especially in the book, he even talks to Alina like that about the inevitability of it, and like it's gonna happen. And she keeps having to tell him like, stop acting and stop talking like you've accepted this, that this is gonna happen. And he's like, oh, okay. And she's like, well, stop thinking it, because I know even though you're not talking about it, you're going to be thinking. He's like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it's going to be.
I finally have purpose.
But he gets himself in the bath, and who should come to see him but Cousin Darkling.
Yeah, family member.
How the fuck are they connected? This is stupid.
Their family. What do you mean?
Okay, can everybody just visit their family in their dream? No, they can't.
If you're magical and you are family, yeah, you can.
Can Tolia and Tamar visit each other in their dreams? Can Nadia and Adrique visit each other in their dreams?
Yeah, no, you already can't. Saw Tolia and Tamar do it.
No, Tolia had a vision.
It. Hey, he needed
a poison vision.
He needed a little extra push, but he did it.
No, this was super weird. Like, there's no indication that this should have been possible. What was this?
There's no indication that it shouldn't have been possible.
This was just really, it was just bizarre. Like, it came out of nowhere, and you're just like, okay, why are we doing this?
I will halfway fight for Mal. Can he get a little moment? instead of have nothing? Because I
this literally does not happen.
Has he ever spoken to him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a discussion in season one when the Darkling's holding him prisoner, and they have their little head-to-head.
Okay.
They have a little, tug of war about Alina.
But that's it, then. After
yeah, they don't interact.
Yeah,
they do not interact.
Then it's like he has nothing else. He's talked to mainly two characters then. Once the Darkling, and then Alina from the rest of the thing. That's it.
Wow.
I mean...
And it was just such a bizarre moment. I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this. So they have a little...
You gotta have the measuring stick.
He's like trying to appeal to him. He's like, you don't have to die. Like, you can just run. You can go away.
Yeah.
And Maul's like, yeah, no, I think I'll be good.
Which I don't understand why you would do that. If you knew she wasn't going to kill him because you're like, oh, they're still in love, why do you think it wouldn't be reciprocated? Like, he wasn't going to not stay around?
I did like his line. He got a really good line out of that where he tells the Darkling, he's like, look, you're gonna die alone and I'm gonna die in her arms.
Yeah.
It was a good moment for him.
He's like, you have nothing. Or he said, you have nothing to lose because you have nothing.
Yeah. So he got the last word in, but it was just a weird moment. Like,
he could have just killed him right there.
I'm just understand. Stuck on the logistics. And yeah, they could have killed him right then. Why the fuck not?
Because it looks better in Act 3.
Does it? I don't know. Are we not in Act 3 at this point?
No. Of the show, or of the episode, no.
Well, we cut to your favorite, Nikolai.
So, I will say this was the most worried I was.
You were very stressed.
For a character, because...
The moment the title sequence came up.
Because the title was trying to give away a little bit, with his lucky compass at the top of the screen, frozen over, like as if he was going to... In a bullet shell casing
Listeners,
next to
I
it.
Need you to realize... Immediately, Aaron clocked that immediately and was like, he better not die. He better not die.
Yeah.
You were stressed about it the entire episode.
Because, and then don't try to glaze over as if he didn't give his goodbyes to everybody during the episode. Everybody knows that. Mm. Everybody knows the 2 days before retirement character that has his I'm going to go home and see the wife and kids after this, you know, and then dies immediately after. He was doing that throughout the episode. And he could not. He had
some speeches to give.
First of all, he could not get anything wrong with anybody. Mm-hmm. When Alina came down with her issues, he was there for her. When Mal, who he's barely had any interaction, he hugged the man. Couldn't get it wrong. His people gave a roaring speech. Couldn't get it wrong. Yeah. That all equals death.
One of the things that I have been bummed about is that we didn't get to see the relationship between Mal and Nikolai because they're with Sturmund for a very long time. And Mal and Sturmund are close. They're very good friends. Ah. They get real tight. Mal gets really into learning about sailing. And they're pretty tight friends. And when it's revealed that it's Nikolai, he is real mad. Like, they're all real mad. But then suddenly he realizes what he's actually dealing with. And then there's the whole thing with Alina. So they're butting heads for the rest of the time. But once we get into Rune and Rising, like, they're friends.
Okay.
I have missed a little bit that we didn't get that from them. Because we get to a point where, like, they're joking around with each other and they're being sarcastic with each other.
That would be a little more of a sting. As, you know, this guy you just kind of grew close with for a little bit is now trying to take your girl and marry her. That would be a little more
sting.
And
that's part of why, we'll see him have a conversation with Nikolai later where he's, you know, has the conversation of, like, just deserve her. Where he's like, yeah, that kind of sucks because, like, you're great for her. He's like, I would have liked it if this worked out differently, but I do think you're a good person. And I think you're going to be good to her.
That's a line I could see him saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
so we did miss out on a bit of that. But Nikolai and Alina are talking right now. She's crying on his shoulder, and she tells him what's going on. He says they're going to send their strongest soldiers to protect the orphanage. We'll see. I don't know. That's just really? I mean, one location? You're going to send all your soldiers there? But
first of all, there's only 12 soldiers.
We have established in this episode that they do not have the forces.
Yeah, there's no army.
So in the books, because I told you they to try and give you a scale of this fight, like, Nikolai can rally about 5,000 soldiers across the country.
He got five in this time.
He's got five in this one. So, yeah, he wants to send his strongest soldiers to protect the orphanage. Alina wants to go alone, and they're like, stop trying to throw yourself into battle. Fuck off. Like, you have a job to do. She gives him back his compass. Gives it back to him.
Again, we're closing a loop. That is all equaling he's going to die.
And she said she asks him to promise to survive.
But did he say anything after? He got interrupted immediately before he could promise.
She says, look, promise me you're going to survive. One of us has to.
And he goes, excuse me.
And then somebody walks in.
Exactly. And I'm
like, you're sweating.
I'm like, there it is. He couldn't even promise. Couldn't even promise.
Oh, my God. But Nikolai, you know, is kind of trying to play off what his friend walked in. And he's like, oh, it's not what you think. It's not real. And they have their little bro moment.
That is another conversation right there.
Because he's like, I just want you to be happy.
You're going to die, my G. Like, that's what it is. He's contemplating, like, was this real? Like, no, I was doing this for a political thing. Like,
fake marriage, real feelings.
Exactly.
As his buddy said.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he's giving him, like, you know what? Like, you're going to be a great king. You are going to be great at this. This is your destiny.
Setting
you
him up for death.
You are going to rule out of hope for the future.
We need a king that rules out of hope. Yes. Setting him up for death. There's no writer in the world.
He really does go from, like, conversation on this, like, tour. Because he goes from Alina to his friend, then to Mal. That's when they have their discussion.
He goes on a tour, a death tour. There's no writer in the world that can tell me that that's exactly what that was. So it was
a little red herring.
It was an emotional roller coaster. Because now, actually, there was just, at some point, I was just, okay.
This is happening.
Yeah, it was
and I have to prepare my heart for it.
It was hand on the hand of the person in bed. I've accepted you've gone. Let's just, how do we do this now?
Good Lord. You ready to pull the plug on him?
It was. That's exactly what it was. So
he and Mal have a little nice conversation. Mal's talking about how, like, I envy Sturman's life. Like, that's the life I would have liked to live.
Why did I think in that moment, for some reason, I thought Nikolai was going to be like, why don't you become Sturman now? Like, you go
just
ahead.
Just hand it off.
Yeah, I don't know
You're going to die in, like, 5 minutes, according to our calculations.
He was doing the rope thing with the boat. Like, he knew how to sail. So I was like, maybe he's going to be like, you know what? When this is all over, you become Sturman. And I'll do my thing. But here's the mantle of Sturman.
Who knows?
I don't know.
So once he's done, he's at that moment, we're done with his death tour for a minute.
Yes.
We'll come back to it later when he gives a big speech.
Because then, yeah, there's the button right there on the suit.
There's that. We cut to Genya and David. Everybody's just kind of having their little moment. So Genya and David are carrying a prosthetic arm, which I think we can assume is for Adrique.
Yes.
Which I would like to mention does not happen in the book. He just doesn't have an arm. And that's
okay. I don't
know
why they decided. And then also,
like, that's, you cannot have an arm. That's all right.
Why give him an arm if he still just learns how to do it one-handed in this episode anyway?
Great question.
Like,
it, couldn't answer it for you.
They don't like amputees in the show.
I guess not. No, they wouldn't let the Darkling be an amputee. They wouldn't let Adrique be an amputee.
Yeah, I was about to say, everybody just kind of gets their limb back.
And I swear, I think it is just so they don't have to edit anything out. Because, like, for the Darkling, you know, he's having to wear, like, a green screen glove, and they have to get rid of it, and Adrique would be having to be wearing his, like, green screen whatever. And
again,
they're just like, you know what? Let's just put
in
a glove on him. Put a gold glove on his hand. He's got a golden hand.
Fold your arm in, wear a big coat.
I don't know what they were doing.
That's all you gotta do.
But, so yes, David makes an arm for Adrique. He and Genya have a little conversation about gemstones and...
Yeah, what's your favorite gemstone?
I don't think I have one.
You don't?
The cheap ones. The ones that don't cost a lot of money.
Mm.
And have you ever seen me wear jewelry?
I don't know. I don't wear jewelry either.
Yeah.
I'm not a jewelry
You don't
person.
Have a, you don't have a favorite gemstone?
Amethyst.
Okay, then. You had that real quick. You had that off the cuff.
Yeah.
My
birthstone. February.
Oh, that's boring. You just pick your birthstone?
It was the first stone that I knew was a stone.
Pick your birthstone.
It's the first stone that I knew
was a
stone.
I'm over here like, oh, I like peridot. Nobody likes peridot.
I don't even know what that is.
It's my birthstone.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
I just knew as a kid, I remember, I was like, there's diamonds and emeralds and rubies. That was literally the only ones I knew. And then when I found out about the concept of birthstones, I was like, oh, what's mine? Mine's got to be like a diamond or something. And then I was like,
you know
what
that checks out? You would just like your own birthstone.
I was like, then what's this? I was like, it's purple thing? I was like, you know what? It's mine.
That's very you. You would just be like, this is the one that's for me.
You have to like yourself, everybody. Uh-huh. Love yourself. Good Lord. Love yourself.
So, anyway, Amethyst. Mr. Amethyst over here.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're kind of just like bouncing around. We're killing time until shit goes down.
Well, it was a lot of, I would say, misdirections. Because it kind of felt like a lot of people's death talks. That's what it was.
But we're in a planning mission where, you know, the Grisha, Alina and her Grisha, and Nikolai walks in. So they're talking about, like, the Darkling is expecting Alina at the orphanage. So what Maul wants to do is actually go to the Fold. Because if he's expecting her at the orphanage, go somewhere else. So go to the Fold. Let's take this down and take care of it now while nobody's looking. Which, solid idea, I guess, if you know how to do that. Do you know how to do that?
Are you just going to go to this orphanage just because it has sentimental value to her?
Yes.
Send just a couple of guys to go clear it out.
Clear it out?
Yeah.
Kill all the kids?
No, I mean, get the kids out of there, you weirdo. What do you mean? No, not kill the kids.
Way.
Clear out the orphanage. Get them out of there for a second. Like, it's not a... I feel like... We put a lot of emphasis on this orphanage.
We
it's
did.
Not a
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're strategic. Sending all of your strongest soldiers
yeah.
to this one orphanage because one kid likes it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Get your priorities straight. But within this, so you and I had been talking a lot about how, like, the idea of Maul having to die seems weird because we've established that that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
So Tamar has the idea that she's like, well, I'm a heart render. I could just stop his heart.
Yes.
And then start it again. You know? Why can't we try that? And then one of them brings up the, like, oh, and David's the one who's like, well, I could just fuse a piece of his bone to you. It doesn't have to be his, like, whole skeleton.
Yeah. It's still wrong because she has to be the one to kill.
Yes.
And she's not
a heart
render.
And that was immediately, like, as soon as Tamar, because we've already established that she has to be the one to kill
yes.
it.
Yes.
Well,
no, because now
Darkling killed the first one. And within the case of the book, yeah. there are consequences to that. But in the show, there was no consequences to that.
No.
The consequences came in because he took a piece of it, too.
And put it in his gross
so,
hand.
So, I don't know what we're doing.
That's, yeah.
Truly, I have no idea how this is going.
I don't know why they decided to change. Some things in books, you know, in adaptations, I feel like it's just the hubris of the writer. That
yeah.
is like, I think this will
like,
be
why
better.
Did this particular thing need to be different?
Yeah, like
what
that
did
one
you
thing,
get
yeah.
out of this? What elevated this from you Nothing. Changing it?
Maybe we'll find out in the last episode.
Maybe we will. So we've got a little bit of hope there. They're kind of, Alina's got a little bit of hope that, like, maybe she won't have to murder him.
That's what gets you through, hope. That's what
we get a little look at Nadia and Tamar. We get a little moment with the two of them. The two that you were, like, wondering if they, the two chicks that, you know, were they going to get together? And you even remarked on it at the time. But you don't remember. Her name is Nadia.
Okay, I keep getting mixed up with Nina. That's what, yeah. Whenever you said Nadia, I thought of Nina. And I was like, Nina wasn't doing anything.
Learn women's names, Aaron.
You know how many of them are in this show?
Learn women's names.
I have
names.
Had to learn all these names that aren't common names, by the way. It's not like Steve and Mike and
so
Joe.
Easy to remember.
No, that's why they're so difficult to remember. I don't know Nadia's brother's name from...
Adric.
Exactly.
I say it every episode.
Yeah, but he's not even... He has no lines, really. He has no lines, so how do I remember him? And then the twins...
Tolia and Tamar.
Tolia, Tamar, and that? Nadia is are and Adric are the four people that are just going to... Their names are just going
to... They're also impossible because you keep referring to them as the brother and sister, and they're both brothers and sisters.
Well, there you go. Do I have to say the armless brother and sister?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Wow.
I need you to specify. So we get a little moment with Nadia and Tamar, which is something I think that's more for book readers. You get more of a look at Nadia and Tamar. And
oh, do just, you in the book?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, it's okay. Much more established that the two of them are like flirty.
Okay.
Through. Because again, we're seeing this happen in the show, and it seems like maybe a span of a number
two
of days,
days
has
two days
happened.
Have happened.
And
yeah.
It has been months in the book.
Yeah, no, 2 days have passed.
It's been very, very fast in the show. This is when Nikolai walks up to Alina and Mal, and to your credit and your depth tour says, you know, I really hope that we see each other again someday.
Exactly.
And I felt
when,
your blood pressure
when
drop.
When you hear that, the two characters that didn't even really, like, have a lot of lines, I'm like, you're saying bye to them now, dude? Like, you're done. You're
no, he
done.
Said that to Alina and Mal.
Oh, no, I mean, when they were walking out, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Or when he was walking up to
give his
speech.
But he is saying goodbye to everybody. And yeah. Then he gives his big speech about hope.
Yeah.
And immediately everything goes to shit.
Yeah, I
immediately.
Mean.
Immediately.
Yeah. But see, when that happened, when the first time that was happened, it's like they take off on their ship on the Hummingbird 8, because there's so many of them, apparently. And it gets shot down 2 feet outside of the base that they left.
2 feet outside of the base and 2 feet away from the fold.
Yes. I didn't worry then because I was like, nobody, no confirmed death.
Correct.
And they did not show anybody. So when we come to it later, I was still on the train though. I was still on like, okay, it's going to happen, but just not on that one. They want to trick you.
They want to like drag
you
along.
Yeah, they want to drag us out. So let's just drag it out, whatever. But I'm still waiting on the side of the bed, like, it's time.
So immediately, you find out that the Darkling is not at Karam's, and they're at the fold. And, like, you and I had the same reaction of, like, we did not know we were this close to the fold.
Yeah, you are spitting
distance.
Everything
is really fucking close.
Yeah, yeah, you're really close to it. And I don't understand the strategic...
There is none.
Okay.
There is no strategic reason for this.
Like, are they the men on the wall? Is that, like, you have to be closest to the
danger? I don't fucking know,
man. Okay.
So they're at the fold. Nikolai's group immediately gets ambushed. And it's funny, like, you can see where it gets shot down from the wall later in the episode. And it was right outside.
It's right outside.
And I'm like, how fucking long did it take you guys to realize this happened?
I told you, though, last episode, we're really close. Everything is really...
Everything is really close.
Everything is real close. Wait, the creatures inside the wall...
Inside
the fold. They... has it ever been established that they can get hurt or killed by just sunlight, regular sunlight?
Yeah, that's why they don't leave the fold.
Okay.
Yeah, so they stay in the fold. It's the Nisheva, and that they can leave, and that's, like, part of the reason they're so dangerous. But, yeah, so they get ambushed. The Grishar, like, kill any first army you see.
Yeah.
Just massacre them.
If they wear the uniform, they're against us.
Take them out.
Yeah.
We get our one little aside with Matthias here. Pekka approaches him.
Yeah.
And starts... They're, like, setting the groundwork for a storyline I guess we're going to do in Hellgate, maybe. With the two of them.
Really? We have one episode left. I don't think they're going to show them
left. Well, I don't know if they're going to stretch that into Six of Crows.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's why they're laying the groundwork now for that to be a thing later, maybe? But I don't know why. Because, again, Pekka's not in prison, so I don't know.
I feel like Matthias is going to help him escape.
Why?
Because they're going to build some type of relationship in prison. And then they're going to escape because it makes more drama on the outside.
Yeah.
He's back in the Six of Crows, you know, world. And now Nina is a crow. That's going to cause a little tension.
I don't know what we're doing.
That's going to cause a little strife.
But Pekka approaches him and offers him purpose. Very vaguely offers him purpose. And they're like, we had to throw that in before the end of the episode. So, and then we go straight from that to David not being able to cut off a finger.
I wouldn't expect him to be able to. He's nervous about a lot of things. And taking a finger is definitely going to be something you're going to be nervous about.
He's not doing great.
I wouldn't have wanted him to do it in the first place. Because I'm like, you look way too jittery.
Like, you could have handed it to literally, let Maul do it himself.
Yeah.
He could have done it himself. But his hesitation does save Maul's finger. Because that's when they get attacked by the Nisheva, and we end up with a long bit of combat through the rest of the episode.
The rest of the episode was just straight combat, yeah.
So the Nisheva come in through the window, everybody starts running, you find out Nikolai and a few of the Grisha, the Grisha that we know, the named, the faces that we recognize are the ones that got away.
Yes.
All the red shirts died back at the...
for sure.
Died back at the Hummingbird.
As they should have.
Darkling apparently tracked Alina's amplifiers, because that's a thing he can do. Because that's because they were asking how he knew where the tracker was, and he was like, well, I had to find her, and I tracked her amplifiers. And I'm like,
oh.
What?
I
really hate when, because, I mean, any kind of show that does this, when they just, like, throw something like that out there as a quick explanation. Something. Yeah, the yada yada, the explanation. And you're like, wait a minute, go back to that, because you've never established that that's a thing you can do.
Yeah.
But we're just throwing things out here. David has apparently been making phosphorus bullets in his free time. That we've never discussed before,
but are now fully functional. No, he said something about that when they first met the first army.
Did he? Oh, yeah. Last episode.
Last episode, yeah.
And he's like, I'm working on something for...
Yeah. He said something about their ammunition.
Well, now they are fully functional.
Yeah, see? It's a plot that just came all the way.
Working stuff. And the Darkling is like pushing the fold into their base, because that's what happens when you put your base 5 feet away from the fold.
So, begs the question, why did he need Alina?
Great question.
Because he was pushing the fold by himself anyway.
Moving it without her.
Got it.
And my whole question that maintained through this entire episode, why was Alina not constantly using her power against the Volcra? She's just watching people get attacked by the Volcra.
You don't understand.
Do I?
It takes a lot of energy to use it.
Not really.
So she can't just go throwing it out there all willy-nilly.
As soon as the place goes dark, you've established that she can create like a circumference of light.
Can we talk about
which the Volcra cannot get in?
Can we talk about that though?
Can we?
How much of the fold did take over the base?
Great question
we don't know the answer to.
Because we've got Alina and Maul in one end of the base in the fold.
Yep.
Nikolai and everybody else on the other side of the base, clearly not under the fold.
Not in the fold, nope.
So as viewers, but we can guess, okay, it probably took over like a bit of the base. Give me one establishing shot.
But we saw Nikolai and his people see that the base got encompassed in the fold when they were on their way to it. So where did they go? Yes, where did they go where they weren't in the fold all the time?
Geographically, this has not been great.
It was not. And I don't understand.
For like the last, I would say geographically is the weakest part of the season. Where are we at any point in time?
The base didn't look like it was big enough to have sectioned off part fold, part not. So where were you guys?
Good fucking question that I have no answer for.
And then there was like one scene where the fold totally encompassed the whole base, quote unquote, and the beasts were just eating up people, you know, left and right.
Alina's watching it happen.
Right? And I was like, okay, so then everything is taken. Like, it's over the whole thing. That's where they made the speech, right? But then the next scene is just like, well, there's this little alleyway right here that's just...
Still sunlight.
It's good. It's all good.
And even if they were in the sunlight, you would think that, like, you would be able to see the fold.
On the side
it's
or something.
It's right there.
Yeah. I wonder, does it cast a shadow?
I don't know.
I mean, it's still kind of...
Depends on where the sun is. If the sun is on the east and the fold is on the west, then no.
I don't know where the position of the sun is. You're never going to know any detail like that.
I got nothing.
You're never going to know a detail.
So, I don't know why Alina's not using her powers. The Grisha catch up to Nikolai's group very fast. Although, he's limping. Maybe they're all going at his speed.
Yeah, you can't leave the king.
He's slowing down the entire group.
You can't leave the king, though.
Slowing them all down. So they catch up. They're kind of hitting pot shots back and forth. And it's just a lot of combat.
Yeah, it was a lot of... It was an action sequence. This was a big...
We got some good stuff with the teamwork of the Darkling's Grisha.
I like that, where one would make a fireball and the other one would shoot it, I guess, harder with wind.
It was going well. It was working out for them.
Yeah, no, that was cool, I guess.
Yeah, it was a lot of combat.
I don't know the extent of their power, their base powers, to be like, whoa.
They really haven't done a great job, I think, of showing the scale of what any of them can do.
I need to know, like, what can you do?
So, like, one of the things that we miss is in the book, after they have the attack at the spinning wheel, the one where Bagra dies, they have to make a getaway to get to where they're hunting the Firebird, and it takes them 2 days to fly there, but Zoya and... God, I forget the other. I think it's, Nadia. So Zoya and Nadia are the two squallers that are having to make the wind for the hummingbird to fly for 2 days straight. They can't stop. They cannot sit down. They can't put their arms down. And so they talk about the ways that, like, at one point, Adric goes behind Zoya and, like, so she can rest her back on it so she can rest her legs because she still has to stand up. And, like, at one point, Alina goes behind her and is holding her arms up for her so she doesn't have to use her muscles anymore. And, like, all these little things where you're kind of seeing the limitations of what they can do and how they can push themselves.
So they have to constantly move when they're summoning.
In the book, it doesn't say anything about the movement. So in the show, you've kind of got this thing where, like, she's moving her arm in a circular motion. And it kind of reads in the book as though she's just holding her arms out and summoning that way. So you don't have that. But, yeah, like, Alina has to go up behind her and, like, hold her limbs up for her because she's been keeping her arms up for 2 days.
And they're running from who again?
They're running from the Darkling. Who had attacked them at the spinning wheel.
And he's flying with his...
They don't know where he is. So that was the moment where Bagra gave them time because she killed herself. And they're like, we have no idea how close he's behind us. We have no idea if he can follow us. So we're just going.
Because I'm like, I understand the continuously trying to go, but, like, you're flying.
But they don't know. Because he flew up there. So they just don't know. Okay. They're like, we're just getting from point A to point B as fast as we can. And we're not stopping. So all that to say that, like, there's a little bit more of the look at the limitations of what they can do and the extent of what they can do, like, little things like that throughout the books that you just don't see a lot in the show. So to your point, yeah, we don't know really what the base scale of their powers are.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't seem like a huge amount of power that they've amplified themselves to.
No, it doesn't. Especially when that scene when the king is running with everybody and they turn back and see them kind of just break a pathway for themselves with fire.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought they could do that already anyway. Like,
I don't know.
This doesn't look like anything extra.
Well, the ice dagger lady takes a real liking to Nikolai. She is coming for him.
She has a name. We'll find out later.
Do we know her name? We'll
find out later. But yes, she's amped up to taking water out of clouds just that are above.
Yeah, because you and I were trying to figure out where she's getting the water from. Because I mentioned they can't, like, make something from nothing.
Yeah.
Even in the book, it mentions that the Inferni, the fire starters, will carry flint with them strike. And they've never shown that in here.
Yeah, they just conjure it. Yeah.
So the wind, obviously, is all the oxygen air is always all around you. She's pulling water from the atmosphere, from the clouds, from the moat.
Fire is just, do they make it?
It's just all over the place.
Yep.
And meanwhile, in the fold, 5 feet away, Alina and Maul finally get got by the Volkra and by one of the Nishevoya, and who should show up but Inej? Because we can just travel places really fast.
I mean, they have been on their way for a while.
For how long?
We don't know.
For how long?
And again,
they're wearing the same clothes.
So if you will pull out your map, you'll see how you know where the fold is, and Shu is right there, and there's kind of like a 3-way split of Ravka, Shu, fold on the side, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a border right there. So what you don't know is that all that stuff takes place right in that
small corner. That grouping of states where if you stand at the corner and you're like, exactly, four states yes, at the same you're like, time.
That's exactly where everything is taking place at. So it's not really a far travel in between everything.
Everything is right there.
Everything We're is all very in the close. Same place. So, yeah, the travel between, not that far.
So Inej shows up. She's got the shadow sword, whatever the fuck that thing's called.
I can't remember. It's not the shadow sword, but I can't remember.
Neshenyer. Something like that. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, sure.
Sticking with it. But she's got her shadow blade. We pop her in. Nina and Zoya show up with the hummingbird. So we're getting to the point where everybody's getting to the same place again. We're all putting each other in the right place. Tolia and Tamar's secret necklaces activate. I don't know what that means.
That means they're just near.
Does it?
Yeah.
Have we established that?
Yes, because it's we have a special way of finding each other. No,
because there's
a difference
between I can find this person and I know when this person is near. That's useless. That is useless.
We have a special way of finding each other.
I don't
okay?
know what they are. Right, but, Emma? Oh, Nicola's buddy died. His friend, whose name I have no idea who he was.
Oh, the one that took the lashings for him.
Yes,
took the ice daggers for him, yes. I feel like you're skipping a lot of the action that just happened before
it's
all that.
It's mostly just a lot of action. It's just a lot of, we're running. And
yeah, it's just a lot of fighting back and forth.
We're
and stuff
shooting
like
them.
That.
They're throwing fire at us. We're shooting them again. Yeah. They're throwing ice daggers at us. We're running again. We're shooting.
So this was, when he died, it alleviated some of my, Nicholas is not going to die.
Nikolai?
Yeah, Nikolai. Sorry, Nikolai. He's not going to die because they just had this character die for him. You know, this was a red herring. I am pretty sure. I'm more confident now.
All right. I'm happy for you.
Than before.
I'm happy that you're happy.
Whatever, Emma. But
I just don't want you to worry.
Whatever. Because he would not make, it would not make sense for his character to die.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, then who's going to rule?
Right.
Queen Mother. That's who's next in line. And we saw how she did. There it is.
Who knows? Maybe he has a bastard somewhere.
No, he doesn't.
You don't know?
No, he doesn't.
You don't know?
Because he's already the ultimate good guy of this story. And the only reason why I was worried is because writers don't like good guys in the stories. They want them to be happy to kill them to make you feel something. Because that's the only way they can make you feel something.
It happens.
No, I never like the trope of the good guy dies.
Well, I'm just happy that you're happy.
Whatever, Emma.
And I don't want you to worry. Mm-hmm. Everything's going great.
If
Nikolai's best friend just died.
If he dies at the end of this story, the whole story is stupid. It legit is. It, from the beginning to the end, it's dumb. So that's where I'll leave that.
Well, he's alive. His best friend of his entire life that
it's
we've known for 5 minutes.
Best friend of entire
has
life.
Has died.
He's probably more friends with the Tamalia and...
Tamar and Tolia.
Tamar and Tolia, yeah.
You're killing me with names.
I just merged their names together.
You're
Tamalia.
Killing me with names.
Tamalia.
Well, Alina and company make their way into the fold. So we've got, Nina, Zoya, Inej, Alina, Maul. They all kind of push their way into the fold. And she's like, this is where it's happening. We're going to break
Zoya.
It down. Did I say that? I said Zoya.
Did you say? I just heard Nina and
anyway,
Nina and
they're Ash. All in the fold. She's deciding right now, right here, is where we're going to get rid of the fold.
Yes.
Which, again, they've not established they have any idea how to do.
You just got
to
be in the middle.
Other than just, be a big light show.
Yeah, you just got to be in the middle and release energy.
And she's determined. And even Maul says as they're running from the camp, we don't have David. So she's like, we're just going to figure it out. It's just going to work.
Well, because she's already said, though, maybe multiple times, that she feels like she can get the power without having to kill something.
Yeah, she thought she could do it with the stag.
Yeah.
She thought she could do it with the sea whip.
Yeah.
That didn't go well.
And so
she's...
No better time to try it than with the person that she's trying to save. So
you get your little light show, they touch, they have their little moment. Oh, the power of love.
And the darkness is spreading back away from them. And
who should be standing right there?
Just stand and watching it.
Just
so
lurking.
How long were you standing there, dude? Just watching the show go on. Like, it's not like he walked in or rushed in, into the light show. He was just, the light enveloped him and he was like, I'm
he
here.
Said, oh, well, I've been here for 5 minutes while you guys were figuring this out, but I guess you can see me now. So hello.
I wish they were talking bad about him. That way,
right?
He was just standing there. I heard everything, guys.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really? He said, really, Zoya, after all this time?
Oh, yeah. She's had some interaction, hasn't she?
She's had a lot of interaction.
Yeah.
She was his quote-unquote favorite before Alina came around.
Yeah, that's right.
She was very much into him. Okay. So they're doing their whole power of love thing in the fold. Power of love, David and Genya are still running through the camp that they're in, the side that does not have Volcra, apparently.
No, it didn't.
Did not. They were
not in the
fold.
They were in the
there
fold.
Was
they weren't in
there.
The fold. There was sunlight all around, yeah.
But yeah, you get this moment where they run into a room. There's clearly an Echevoya outside. He puts her in the dumbwaiter and then welds it shut behind her and is like, bye.
Why not just go in the dumbwaiter with her?
It looked like there wasn't enough room.
Come on. This isn't Titanic. All right?
Well, apparently it is.
This is, you could have fit in there. Then he could have welded it shut behind him.
Well, and there still needs to be somebody on the outside to pull it.
He's a metal bender.
Is he a bender or does he have to be touching it?
It's just been the metal bar. He could have done it.
I don't know if he's a bender.
There's multiple ways. Bend the lever with your metal bending or whatever, or just pull it down yourself because you can control metal.
Fair point.
There's plenty of ways. He sacrificed. He did it out of guilt because he left her there.
He very much did leave her.
The last time. So it's like, let me save you here. I'm all about everyone lives, guys. This is what I'm not going to. There's a scene in what's that show called? My Wife and Kids, maybe?
No idea what you're talking about.
Well, there's a guy who's married and his sister comes to visit and his wife and his sister don't get along. They're bickering. And he sits them in a room. He's like, you guys got to work this out. And he's like, I'm not choosing one of you. You're my wife. You're my sister. I love you both. Not doing this. But you guys need to work out something. And they're like, if I was hanging off a cliff, you know, which one of us would you save type of situation? He's like, I'd probably die trying to save both of you. So now you guys have to figure this out. That is the line you say. It's not, I'm going to do this one or that. I will die saving both of you.
Well, David has decided that he's going to save Genya.
You know what, David? And then you have to see her screaming as if she was cut from her demon.
She was giving it her all. Good for her.
But now she's lost so much. She has literally lost so much.
Has she lost him, though?
Second after the freaking demon thing walk in the room and stare him down like, you know there's nothing left for you, bro.
Has she lost him? He's gone. You don't know anything.
He's gone.
The crows show up. It's funny because you had just been saying like 5 minutes before, you were like, where are grenades? Do we not have grenades here?
Yeah.
And then Wyland tosses a grenade.
Yes. Because I would figure you would, that if you're going against magic in any, wait, do the Shoe and
the Fjordans
even attempt to use magic at all?
No.
Or they just persecute all their people?
They persecute all of them.
Okay.
Fjordans kill them,
yeah.
And the Shu Han experiment on them a lot.
Okay.
So, yeah, Wyland lobs his grenade in there. You get your little ragdoll physics.
She got blown backwards.
She did.
That was a stunt. Good on that stunt performer, because she did a great job.
Jesper shows up with his metal Durst powers. He's popping buttons off his waistcoat.
But we're not going to talk about how long a grieving session took place for the bad guy.
Oh my god, it did.
When she died.
You know they're good guys because they let them sit there and have her final breath.
Exactly.
For 10 minutes.
Because she was
like. And they're like, we're just going to hide back here and let you have your moment and not take advantage of the fact that we could just, I don't know, shoot you right now.
Yeah. She was weeping over this woman as the final
beats.
That
one was soliloquizing, yes. All right, for the longest fucking time.
I was like, why are we letting the enemy mourn here in the middle of a battle?
We want them to feel the suffering, all right?
Horrible.
So once Jesper's decided they've had enough time, he pops out with his guns. She freezes him. He pops out with his buttons. Cuts off all her fingers.
Yeah, he's got control of metal.
Which she does not realize because she's in shock.
Yeah.
For like a good minute. They kill the other guy. She like tries to tide maker bend at him. Has no fingers.
Apparently you need fingers to tide make.
Clearly.
So.
There was a lot gone. And yes. Then Nikolai shoots her in the neck.
Just to make her feel it.
Point blank. He could have shot her in the head.
He's had great moments throughout this whole thing. He needed to do one bad thing.
Was it a bad thing?
I mean, to make her suffer?
Was
yeah,
it a bad
you
thing?
End it quickly.
She deserved it.
Jeez. I didn't say she didn't. It. I just said from that guy though. When I heard the gun, I was like, how did Jesper get over there that fast?
No.
That's what Nikolai. I thought the whole time. Yeah, Nikolai, right to the
right to the throat. Yeah. My God. And after her fingers just got cut off, she's having a bad day.
Yeah.
No, listen. Oh, my God. You know what? I just had a stroke. We're going to try that again.
Okay.
Do you know who else just had a bad day? The Darkling.
The Darkling. Did he have a bad day, though?
I mean, he did kind of get cut.
I mean, we all get cut once in a while.
So it's cut versus cut. He throws out the cut. Alina throws out the cut for her big moment. She hits him. Oh, my God, look what I've done. But, oh, no, Maul has also been hit.
Yes. Collateral damage will happen.
Yeah.
But through collateral damage, because this is where the episode ends, it's an opportunity.
For?
To get an amp.
Wow.
That's all she needed. He's almost there. So if you just hand over mouth and nose.
Good Lord.
Finish it off. Get the power. expel the darkness.
So that is, in fact, where we end off. Uh-huh. So how do you think this ends?
Well, clearly, Mal is going to come back somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to, sew up the wound or something, and they'll be fine.
Little battleground first aid.
He'll have a scar because it's dark magic, right? So it'll look all...
Okay, all right.
And... What's weird is, because all I can see is just like a fight, a one-to-one fight to the death between the Darkling and Alina, but that can't be an hour-long fight, because...
We do have a full episode coming up.
Full episode, but everything is in place to finish 5 minutes into the next one.
Well, there are definitely a lot of things that they've left out from the book. There's one thing in particular, one really massive thing that honestly should have happened 2 or 3 episodes ago, and it's bothered me that it hasn't happened yet, and all I can think is they must be saving it for the last episode for some reason, and I don't really know why, but we'll see it play out, and obviously we'll talk about it at the end of the next one. But you and I are going into this pretty much not knowing. Like, I know the end result.
You know the end game.
Assuming they don't change it drastically.
Let's change it. Where's the sword? Oh, yeah.
Inej has it. So it's with them in the fold. So I know the end result, but I have no idea how we're going to get there.
At this point, you said, is this in the book at this point where we're at?
No.
Okay, all right.
So this is not how the... Oh, so there was also something that they left out that I think you would have really enjoyed. So I told you, after the orphanage, the dark